Now, if Sonny was rested on Saturday, like, I wouldn't have a huge problem with that.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, Patreons. Q&A on a Monday. Are we ready to just get straight into it, James?
Yes, please, boss.
We will avoid repetitiveness because I feel like there might be some with VAR and refereeing.
Yeah, just remember, this is available for basic tier plus. So I'm very happy to have a fucking rant here as well if anyone wants more.
Okay, Sicilian FPL says, I have two little boys and I feel like I have watched every children's program under the sun with them, mostly on CBeebies. Which children's TV show would you say drives you mad, and which one do you actually quite like? For me, Baby Jake on CBeebies does my head in, whereas Small Potatoes is incredibly amusing. I'm talking young children's shows, not allowed to say things like Pokemon. It's a bit longer away than from when I watched that kind of nonsense on CBeebies, but it was very repetitive. There was always the usual one there, Hey Dougie and Paw Patrol. But the one that winds my kids up most is Peppa Pig. They get very upset whenever they eat bacon on Peppa Pig because then they say that they're being cannibals, aren't they? Because pigs shouldn't eat bacon because technically they're eating themselves.
Peppa Pig eat bacon.
Bacon sandwiches. I'm sure Daddy Pig has had bacon sandwiches.
Is it?
I feel like my kids
have
said that
to me.
That's
an absolute scandal.
If that's true. Do you know what I mean?
It's true. The worst one is Bing. Bing's a bit of a fucking idiot, right? Yeah. Bing, you fucked up again. Oh, I'm sorry. Stop fucking up, mate. Like, honestly. Bing is the one.
Bing is basically VAR. Bing is the VAR of children's TV programs. Aaron says, if you couldn't choose anything football or bag related, what would each of you choose as your specialist mastermind subject?
I can't have football.
I'd have to pick something from like uni, so like Russian history or French history or something like that.
I'd say something like 90s wrestling or something maybe.
Garage music, 90s garage music maybe would be one. That would be one. But I think I'd pick something like history related. Are we allowed to swap before Mastermind? Clearly we would be allowed to. Matt Martin, when rule changes went in a few years ago, I thought I heard that there was consideration to a rule that the penalty taker should not be the first to contact the ball after a penalty kick save. Should FIFA adopt this? Is there any other rule change to consider? I.e., what he's saying is you can't rebound your own penalty.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, that's always been a rule. You can't do it off the woodwork.
Right.
If you hit the post and it comes straight back to you, you've double-touched it, essentially. So, it was muted that if a keeper saved it, then it had to be someone else would have the next touch. But I just think that's ridiculous. The ball's in play, so that's never going to take off.
Yeah. Jarvo says, the worst ever fancy dress. I'm not sure if he's implying worst that we've had to wear versus the worst that's out there. Because clearly doing something stupid like blackface would be the worst fancy dress, as we've seen by certain celebrities that feel like it's a sensible way to go to a Halloween party. There definitely will be some inappropriate Halloween costumes in America in a few weeks' time. We're supposed to be playing Arsenal on Halloween.
Although Nico raised a good point. He said, like, if someone's going to a Halloween party dressed as Barack Obama... This was his perspective. He's like, how bad is that? If you're specifically going for like a Barack Obama look and you're white, how are you meant to do it to go looking as Barack Obama? Yeah. Which was, and it's black, right? So that was his personal view on it. So yeah, my stance is the same. The worst I've had, Buzz Lightyear, but boom, back to Stag Do 2011, to infinity and beyond.
I had Bruno, the gay Austrian Sacha Baron Cohen character on my stage.
Of course you did.
I did. I had Bruno, so that was
Have we got any photos of this? Or
I can try and find some.
You've got to,
I mean, this was 2010, so it was pre like smartphones being good with cameras. Everyone had crap smartphone, Nokia, you know, that kind of thing. BlackBerry stuff.
They'd have been going on by then.
Nah, iPhone.
Mine was 2011. There's loads of photos. I've got them on my phone right now. So if anyone wants me as Buzz Lightyear.
Stag Do.
I'd have to
dig them out. I'd have to dig them out.
Actually met Mrs. Potato Head while dressed as Buzz Lightyear as well.
Nice.
No, she was boring as fuck.
Aaron says, will the possible live show be entertaining for a 2- and 4-year-old? My wife is away that weekend. I'm going to go no, to be honest with you. Roscoe, New Zealand says, can I please hear what James thinks about Brennan Johnson playing for his team? Is he good enough to start? Is he a handy squad player? Listen to nearly all your content, but haven't heard much on the opinion of how he has started for your team. Thanks for everything from New Zealand.
Well, I haven't seen much. So saw 20 minutes on the right wing against Sheffield United, and then saw an hour on the left wing against Arsenal. They're obviously, you know, unique circumstances. Arsenal, there was a definite ploy to try and kick the wide players really high, which is partly why Tottenham suffered difficulties early on in terms of the build-up and breaking Arsenal's press in that game. Obviously, against Sheffield United, pressing to obviously get goals. He had a goal disallowed correctly for offside, but he took it really well. So I can't say I've seen enough other than to tell you he had a goal disallowed against Sheffield United and he took it really well. He obviously had two big chances in the Arsenal game that were both saved. I think my early impressions would be he's quick. He's a little bit more powerful than what I thought he would be. I think he's multifunctional in the sense he could play left, right. And we know we've seen him play through the middle as well. So we know he can play all three forward positions. I think that's particularly handy in terms of the modern game. So it means you can, as long as he's fit, you could get away with one less attacker in a sense because he covers several. So is he going to be first choice? It's difficult to say, but Ange threw him straight in basically against Arsenal, right? So, yeah, if you're asking from like a Richarlison perspective, repeat what I said on the main pod, like there ain't enough info there right now. I don't think Manus Solomon's going to be good enough, personally. It's just erratic. Like he gets the ball and you have kind of that little, like, go on, son. And it just, I don't know. Listen, there's no complaints. It's a free transfer signing and we needed an additional attacking player. Do I see him being first choice longer term? Definitely not. Johnson at the moment is more difficult to say.
We now have Hollis Thamos. Who gets more golden balls? Mbappe, to Ballon d'Ors, obviously. Mbappe, Haaland, or Bellingham?
Mbappe.
Who's got, have they got any between them so far? I don't think they have they?
Well, Jude obviously hasn't won it. Haaland obviously hasn't won it. Has Mbappe got one, maybe? Maybe?
I'm not sure.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
And none between them.
It's a fucking popularity contest now anyway, so whatever.
Kuhn says, now that the dust has settled, can James elaborate on how he feels before and during the North London Derby?
The North London Derby?
Yeah. Do you feel nervous? What's the primary... he says it's nerves and he can't actually enjoy the game.
No, all I hate it.
Similar. Yeah.
Hate it.
The answer's yes.
We was laughing after the game last Sunday when it was with Mum and Dad's. And I said to Dad, because Dad's always like... he's always been like, oh, he's always really looks forward to it. You know, my dad is on the, he's either we're going to get battered or we're going to fucking win handsomely. And I was like, Dad, this is how it is, right? Like, it's always a nightmare. The game is always close from our perspective unless we get properly done over. I was like, once in every 25 minutes, we'll put them, 25 years, we'll put them away comfortably and you can properly enjoy it. And I was like, Dad, you see that 3-0 the other year? Yeah, that was it. That ain't happening again for a really long time because they're bloody good at the moment. So you're always going through that kind of tense anxiety. I've done all these things to try and remind myself, like, it's not like they're never going to beat you again. If they don't beat you this year, they'll probably beat you next year. And all those, you know, it's just 3 points and all those things. How many North London derbies have I seen now? I don't know, 70, 75 or something. I'm going to see hopefully that many again, right? And we'll win some and we'll lose some. You're like, how bad can it be? But when you're in the moment and you're building to the game and when you're watching it, it's fucking awful. I don't know how you enjoy it. It's just too much tension on it. It means too much.
Brad Lewenden, as someone who'll be going abroad to watch my team for the first time this week coming, what tips and advice does James have?
Well, Brad's going to Marseille, isn't he? So
be careful.
Yeah. I mean, let's not just use Marseille as a general because Brad will probably go other places anyway. But the first really obvious thing is know that you are in someone else's country. Mm-hmm. That's the first, right? So don't fucking misbehave. Anything you think is even remotely questionable, you know, be respectful to architecture and all those sort of things in terms of where you take photos, that kind of thing. Like, respect it all. always on your toes. I've never been anywhere where there hasn't been a, oh, there'll be pickpocketers in the area, that kind of shit, right? Wherever you go, be on your toes. Mm-hmm. Be on your toes. Keep valuables in a very, very safe place. No back pocket shit. Don't put anything in your back pocket. You know, whether it's money, tickets, a passport, don't put nothing in your back pocket. Always have your wits about you. Be respectful. Generally speaking, my lessons of learnings, and I've been to a number of places now, is trouble won't find you unless you're looking for it, generally speaking. And if you think something is going to be trouble, get yourself out of the situation.
Jarvo, do you think any of the promoted teams will make a manager change before the end of the season? So you've got Heckingbottom, Edwards, who am I missing, Company?
It's result dependent, isn't it? So, I mean, to be honest, the three of them could get relegated and they could all decide to stick with what they've got, because all had brilliant achievements in terms of getting their respective teams promoted. I feel like Edwards has adapted to Luton more than Luton adapting to Edwards, which I think has shown good management and understanding of their situation. With Sheffield United, there's definitely, I think, if you want to remodel and go more down like a Burnley route of playing, then they might decide to look at that sort of thing further down the line. I think Burnley have real investment in Company, and they know that it's only 3-4 months ago that clubs like Tottenham and Crystal Palace were getting linked with Company, for example. So I think it would have to be really, really bad for them to pull the plaster off, you will, and sack him. As ever with these as well, it's not just about the results, it's about the football club and the players within it. If you've lost the dressing room, you're gone, you're dust. If you lose the dressing room, you're gone. The results are almost irrelevant from that perspective. I don't really sense with any of those three that would become a problem. No, so they could all stay in theory, but history tells us there'll be changes, right? I think Sheffield United would be the most likely to change.
On Andrew says, if for science we were to open the cranium of Anthony Gordon, Nicholas Jackson, and Diogo Jota, what do you think we'd find where the brain is supposed to be? I think this is based off the fact that they've suspended all of them now, yellow cards and two yellows for Jota.
I haven't actually seen the Gordon. I think he kicked the ball away, didn't he? Jackson, obviously, whatever. It's the wrong week from a Newcastle perspective, probably, for Gordon to get suspended, even though we said from a fantasy perspective, probably the right week. It's interesting, I discussed this with Dad, actually, in the game, because obviously Bissouma got his fourth yellow on Saturday, and you're almost thinking, oh, Luton would have been the one you'd almost want him to miss, just because we'll have so much of the ball anyway, right? So you start looking, you think, well, he's the right thing here just to get booked against Luton and miss Fulham at home. When you look at the games afterwards, games like Palace away and stuff like that, and then Chelsea and then Wolves away,
tactical,
and then Villa.
Bookings.
To be honest, yeah, would you... I mean, the only reason to not think that the right thing to do, seriously, would be to get booked against Luton and miss the Fulham game, is if you're that bothered about Paulinho's... But Paulinho's is still more about breaking up the play. Like, I think that's probably the right thing to do.
Get your money it probably is the right thing to do
for him to get booked.
I'm going to put money on it. Vishal Doshi wants to know why Bissouma is wearing basketball shorts. Has he got really long shorts or something?
He does, yeah. Like, if you see him bend over, you can see his pants and stuff. Why was Casemiro wearing gloves on Saturday?
I don't know, maybe it was chilly.
I think it was the first one I noticed, Casemiro's gloves. And they look like thick gloves as well.
Andrew also says, should Tottenham have any criminal liability for knowingly allowing an organised crime syndicate, PGMOL, to operate out of their new stadium on Saturday?
And VAR was operating from Stockley Park, not White Hart Lane. So, well, yeah, I
let the other fools in.
I actually feel really sorry for, it's Simon Hooper, isn't it, the referee? I've referenced him a couple of times, and I think he was the most improved referee last year. And obviously, he's just been fucked over so badly here. Even the decisions, all of them, I feel like, listen, there's obviously, if it's no communication from him at all that the on-field decision is goal, but I just don't think you even, I mean, offside, I don't think you'd have even needed to anyway. I felt sorry for him a little bit with all the decisions. The red card, he obviously gives it as a yellow originally. He didn't send anybody off last year, by the way. He gets sent over to the VAR, and the VAR shows him the screenshot. We could all see that on the TV, right? He gets shown the screenshot straight away. There's no point showing him everything else, because once you've shown him the screenshot, you've told him it's a red card. That's what they're doing. That's why I fucking hate it. Just tell him. All I want it to be, I don't want it to be, view this because da da da. I just want it to be, listen, Simon, go and have a second look at this. Mm-hmm. See what you think. That's how it should be. Right? But he's already decided for him it's going to be red card. As I said earlier, I think it's a red card. It's over the top of the ball, etc. Then on the goal, it's the VAR's fuck up. He obviously has an involvement as part of that. But obviously, again, I'm that side of the ground for the Jota second yellow. And you can see he doesn't want to do it. He takes ages to get his card out. And he knows in his mind it's definite yellow card because of the positional and what happens with the pitch and stuff. He knows it is, and he doesn't want to do it. The first one, although it's a bad decision, I can get why. And also, as I said earlier, Jota probably should have been booked just before that first incident as well, in my opinion. Not that I've seen a replay back of that incident, but that's how, when it happened in the ground, I was like, come on, man, that's two clear fouls in a while, right? And it did look like a deliberate trip from my naked eye as well. So I can understand, and I can also understand the anger about it. But I felt a bit sorry for him, because that's all, he'll just get remembered by now. And actually, he's a referee who's been improving.
Well, Andrew Grandin also says, after VAR's cock up with the Diaz goal, did the on-field ref, I forget his name, he's decided to call him Dipshit McGee, make a concerted effort to card as many Liverpool players as possible so he could send some off in the hope that the Spuds would put up a cricket score and the original fuck up be forgotten?
Okay, have a look at the cards at the weekend. I think you find they're probably quite equal between Tottenham and Liverpool. So no, he's not that sort of referee. Honestly, that's what I said. He genuinely has been, the reason I really liked him last year is because he'd referee games and you wouldn't notice him. I even referenced on one podcast towards the end of the season about all the games he'd done. And I said, if you look through all of them, there's no controversy in any of them. Like, you wouldn't even known he'd be the referee. So he doesn't want that. I'm absolutely certain he'll be gutted. He'll be gutted. But in terms of, it's like it's a bias against Liverpool. If anything, it's probably a consciousness. Like I said, he proper hesitated on that Jota second yellow card. He didn't want to do it.
Lauren says, we've got to rank these in order of the most shocking thing to happen on Saturday. Wolves beating City.
Yeah, big.
Officials incompetence in the Spurs-Liverpool game.
Not that big.
Brighton conceding six. Pretty big.
Yeah.
And Havertz scoring a goal.
I mean, to be honest, no. He's
officials is bottom. They always should.
No, but
Brighton.
The sheer manner of the
Wolves.
One individual mistake, like it is that. Brighton getting done for six was pretty shocking. But I don't think any of us had Wolves beating Man City on the bingo card either. So I'm going to say Wolves.
FPL Frog says, "What is the biggest fuck up in Premier League history?
That.
A, the Diaz offside.
No, that.
B, Ben Thatcher only getting a yellow for the Pedro Mendes elbow. I don't remember that one.
You don't remember the Ben Thatcher elbow?
No, I need to.
Oh my God.
I need to remind myself that one.
Probably worst challenge in Premier League history.
Southampton signing Ali Dia. That was pretty bad. That was a Sooners fuck up. And Norwich signing Ricky Van Wolf's.
Ricky
Winkle.
Van Wolfswinkel. Yeah, he did nothing. It's the Diaz and then the Sheffield United no goal at Aston Villa are the two worst decisions.
Therapy Stan says, how happy are you, the lads, that Mr. Sunak has scrapped the meat tax and the seven bin tax in his honest effort to save the UK economy? I don't know anything about these two taxes, do you?
No.
Okay, we move on. FPL Hall of Fame, wildcard active. Currently sitting on Alvarez. I'm assuming he means Julian. Would you consider a two-week punt elsewhere while he plays Arsenal and Brighton? And if so, who? I'm currently toying with Solanke, Awoniyi or Darwin.
I keep laughing at people's thinking like, Haaland might only be the best captain, two against eight. I mean this really seriously. There's not a doubt in my mind, even if I had both, I'd captain Haaland against Brighton and Salah against Everton. Honestly. And that references to Alvarez as well. Like, I would want him for that fixture. So, two-week punt elsewhere. I mean, if Tottenham had a forward, I'd arguably say that. Watkins isn't a 2 week punt. You go there. You couldn't make the. I mean, God knows who. Imagine after the international break, guessing which Newcastle forward would play against Crystal
Sheffield
Palace.
United?
He's probably Callum Wilson, but Callum Wilson probably. I don't know if he's available for this weekend. A Sheffield United player.
Fulham have got Sheffield United. So Fulham,
Hoyland is maybe one. Brentford at home, Sheffield United away.
Maybe.
No, it's Alvarez. I'm really happy looking at teams right now, and I can see teams are wildcarding with the three forwards I've got. I'm like, cool.
Rob Pick, he saved money on the wildcard to be able to upgrade Carlton Morris. Is Watkins the obvious and correct choice, or is Darwin worth a roll of the dice?
I'd love to get Nunes in, but I do look at it versus Watkins' consistency, and I just think, I just know what Watkins is. I obviously wasn't expecting 23 points at the weekend, but I was never really doubting that he'd come good, because he is brilliantly consistent for what he is. With Nunes, the problem is you could go in and he might not start at Brighton, then he might not start against Everton. And you're like, Gakpo's back fit. Oh, is he going to start against Forest? It's just going to be that every week. Like, the underlying numbers and his expectation and his return per minute mean absolutely I'd love to get him. I don't know how I'd take any of them three forwards out for him. I'd be more likely in any case, Suj, I think, just to say when, if I wanted to bin one now, Alvarez down to like Archer or something like that, and then use the money elsewhere in the team rather than go there. I almost feel like you've probably got to, if you do it, go with 8 attacker setup. Consider that. Go with like Nunes, Watkins, Haaland, and then in the midfield, go with like Salah, Son, and then like Gordon, Diaby, Mitoma, something like that, where you just week to week, you just make a decision on how you feel about him, maybe.
John says, would you have a preference for Darwin or Madison? I think you should say it from wildcard. He wants both, but he can't fit both in.
It's the same thing, isn't it? You know what you're getting with Madders. Plus, the other beauty with Madders is...
If Gakpo's out for a prolonged period, then Darwin becomes more interesting.
Jota will only be a one-game ban.
Mm.
It's difficult at this moment not to foresee Nunes playing at Brighton. So, like, I get that, but... Can they use alternatives and go Salah through the middle and play Elliot on the right, for example? Yeah. Could they even play Trent now? Mm. Even at the moment. I don't think Joe Gomez has been playing badly for Liverpool. He's a very different type of player. So you would assume quite rightly at the moment that Nunes, surely with Gakpo, I assume injured, Jota suspended, and they won't get that overturned. Nunes is surely Diaz, Nunes, Salah at Brighton. I get that. The reason I would go Madison, though, is you know what you're getting. And the other beauty is if he goes wrong in the next two and you think, these returns are calmed down, it's Luton, Fulham, and it goes badly, you've got everyone else.
Yep.
Whether that's Bowen, Diaby, a different Arsenal player if you've got money in the bank.
Might
be Martinelli will probably be cheaper in game week 10, for example. So, yeah. There's so many places to go if it goes wrong and you want to come off him, say, when Tottenham go to Palace in 10 and... Like Arsenal, Villa, West. Arsenal got Sheffield United at home. West Ham have got Everton at home. Villa got Luton at home. And you can go to any of them players I've mentioned.
Sweet Blue, start one of Estupinan, Morris and Archer in game week 8. So Estupinan's got Liverpool. Morris has got Spurs. Archer's got Fulham. Archer's got the best fixture, but...
That's at Craven Cottage as well, though, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, if you don't have a Tottenham defender, Morris, yeah. It's on pens. Yeah.
I would agree with you. Tim Kresner, did you watch Happy Days as a kid? Yes.
No.
But not like, it wasn't one of my favourite shows that I'd have to watch.
You know why he said that, didn't you, the question?
No.
Ange got asked last week about, you was a Liverpool fan when you was a kid. And Ange said, well, yeah, I used to have like posters of Happy Days up on my wall, but ain't there anymore.
Right.
That's where it's come from.
Okay. The dude Morpheus says the Glazers want close to $7 billion from prospective buyers for Manchester United. When are they going to rebrand to Manchester United Comedy Club? Well,
there was reports from Neil Custis, who works for a tabloid newspaper that I'd rather not mention, on Saturday night that done deal. It would be done with Sheikh Jassim's group in the next 2 weeks. But I believe the same newspaper was also reporting the week before that Ratcliffe was now ahead. So the Glazers have moved to goalposts. To be honest with you, if they do end up getting 7 billion when everyone thought the price was 6 billion, you'd have to say well done to them, to be totally honest.
Does Sonny need a rest against Luton?
From a fan perspective, like if we go to Luton at the weekend and it's like Kulusevski, Richarlison, Solomon and Sonny's there on the bench, like I don't have a problem with that. Realistically, we should have enough. There's also the case to say that if you played Richarlison in that position versus Luton, and there will be periods where you need to cross the ball into the box, Richarlison's obviously far... Son's not going to score many headed goals, right? Richarlison's far more suitable than that. The difference is if it drops in and around the box, you fancy Sonny to score, whereas with Richarlison, you don't. But now, if Sonny was rested on Saturday, like I wouldn't have a huge problem with that. The thing is, with Tottenham players and getting rest, though, you'd only be resting a player right now because of an injury concern. There's no reason to wrote, oh, we'll throw Ben Davies. No, that's different. No, I want to see Udogie play on Saturday. Sonny, yeah, if it's to clear up the problem, like, sorry, it's not what you fantasy managers or me as a fantasy owner want to hear, but yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with it. Whatever team we put out really should be capable of doing the business. There's just no real reason to rotate at the moment.
FPL Hall of Fame Lee says, what's the deal with Charlie Taylor? Is he a starter for Burnley or is he in temporarily, debating having him on wildcard?
So they'd used like Connor Roberts at left back and he's right back. They'd obviously had Ian Mattson had primarily played the position last year. He's a better option than anything Burnley have got, but he's not at Burnley. They bought Anis Del Kroah, who struggled to adapt so far. Jack has not seen anything in him to think that he's good enough. And Taylor was completely off the scene and have decided to bring him back in, and they've conceded 4 goals in the last 3 since they have, which is reasonable. It's not bad. I can only tell you that as it stands, yes, he should stay in the team. But I feel like that's a question laced, because I know that I've considered this. It's like, is he still going to be in the team come game week 14 and stuff like that? Fuck knows, mate. Fuck knows. If you're that worried about that, I would go Bayer.
He also asks, apart from your own manager, who's the best manager in the league in terms of likability? I like Thomas Frank. He says he's so refreshingly honest on things. Well, because I don't support Spurs, I'd probably have to say Ange. It's easy for me. You can't pick Ange. Ange has definitely won the hearts and minds, isn't he, in the first 2-3 months in the role.
I'm going to surprise you. I'm going to say Mikel Arteta. Jokes, not really.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Frank's not. Pochettino, when he's winning, can be quite charming. He can't at the moment, though, can he? Because it's not
tough.
Yeah, he can't be saying dumb shit cross budget. Eddie Howe got set up with some, what was it last week? Oh, you know the tree that got knocked down?
No.
Yeah, where is it? It's up that part of the world. And this famous tree that supposedly this 16-year-old chopped down.
Okay, I don't know about this.
So
why did the 16-year-old chop this tree
one
down?
Of our patrons, Jake, tweeted something and I thought it was really good because it was like Eddie Howe got asked about it. I can't remember what the name of the fucking tree is. Anyway, it's been there for like forever. It's in the middle of this kind of like valley or something and it's just this one tree. It's really famous. Anyway, it got chopped down and Eddie Howe got asked about the tree. And he was like, oh, it's terrible. It's really upsetting and all this sort of thing. And it was like, okay, what did you read? Because I read off that, it's like, you won't talk about fucking Saudi Arabia though, will you?
No.
It was like he'd been set up. Anyway, so no, not Eddie Howe.
Give it to Roy Hodgson, granddad.
No.
Rob Edwards, all right.
Dyche is always, he tells you what it is with Sean Dyche.
I like Rob Edwards as well. I think he's right.
The girls like him as well, don't they? He's a handsome fucker. I mean, it is mine, isn't it? To be honest, biased opinion, sorry.
John Jacobson wants to know, why don't you have COTC derbies? The payers want to see correspondents getting heated, like Gary versus Johnny or Dan or something like that.
Right, well, listen, we did Gary versus Johnny in May, before the FA Cup final, so we've done it. Adam and Ricky for Arsenal Tottenham have done 2 together now. and Bradley Parker can be my witness for this because he knows the intention was to do Dan and Sean during the international break. But Bradley fucking ruined everything and I had to change the whole schedule. It's Bradley's fault because he went on holiday last week. So things had to change about. But yeah, I do want to do Liverpool and Everton, especially before Everton get relegated. Jokes, I'm only kidding.
Danny McDonald, interested in your opinion on Diaz's performance for Liverpool. I'm looking to add a second Liverpool to accompany Mo. He's always been a good
asset. He's electric. He's great. He's a super player. Very viable for fantasy. Again, it's the same concern about game week 9, especially when you know that Bowen will play Everton and Diaby, if he's fit, will play Luton, and Madison and Son will play Fulham, and Martinelli, if he's back fit, and Saka will play Sheffield United. And you just, that's in 10, obviously. Sorry. But Diaz in 9, you don't know. All them, I'll put it this way, all those other players I mentioned, if they're fit, they play. That's the problem. They're all playing 9.
Jarvis says, after Luton's glorious win, could they stay up? I think he means. Someone earlier said, after Tottenham's glorious win, could we?
Look, what I would say about them as well is on what I've seen so far, which I've got to be honest, is little in terms of I've only really watched the Chelsea game and they looked wild. Actually, I did watch the Brighton game as well. They weren't particularly out the Brighton game. The Chelsea game, they were well off it. The game against you, I thought, was painful, to be totally honest. But Rob Edwards said they've been improving a little bit more. I'll obviously get a look at them again at the weekend. What I would say is I think they're absolutely capable of scoring in any game. And that should be noted because clearly they're going to be a monster threat from set pieces.
And they were against us as well. That's where a lot of their chances came from as well. Right, okay, moving it on. We have Gary Robinson. Should Premier League referees be allowed to freelance for the owners of one Premier League club? How close are we to a huge scandal? I mean, I don't think there's corruption there, but
no, there's not. But it's down to integrity again, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the
main thing. We can't have that being questioned or compromised. And do you know what? It might even go far enough that maybe the referees come back and say, well, this ain't right for us or whatever. So, I mean, solutions, right? For me, there's a very real solution. And I mean this genuinely, is to put, and I use the term real human beings. And I realise referees are real human beings, but I genuinely mean that. I really think they need a real human being who's not attached to the laws of the game to almost question them. So, and you know what? If a referee then turns around and goes, no, actually, this is the actual law of the game or whatever, fine. Have that fucking conversation, but put something in there, honestly, that's almost not attached to it, that's almost just ask a question to make you think from a real-world perspective. There's no way, and it doesn't matter if there'd have been a Man City, Arsenal, West Ham, whomever had been in there, or even an EFL Championship fan, or lower down, or a neutral, someone who doesn't support anyone, whatever. There's no one who's not going to sit there as a normal human being and go, you do know they've given offside there, right?
Do you reckon we're going to get the audio?
We have to.
But then why haven't they released
absolutely
it yet?
Absolutely have to.
Unless it's damning.
Look, I absolutely get the idea of get Howard Webb in front of a camera and do it. Get in front of a camera and do it. Because whether you agreed or disagreed with some of the things that he's done with, I mean, he did the piece with Michael Owen and he obviously did the piece on Monday Night Football before. He's given you an explanation. And you don't have to like the explanation, but he's given you an explanation. And we've seen certain things maybe change. So, you know, when he comes out and he's like, it's one thing to put in writing and say, oh, Wolves and Fulham got sent apologies, right? Let's say for the Onana penalty incident and the Nathan Aki goal for Man City, right? But if you're actually standing there, stand on the camera and going, look, this is why this decision was made. We got it wrong. We understand we got it wrong. And if this incident happens again, our intention would be to give the penalty. It doesn't make it right or wrong, but at least you can understand a process of what's being explained. I agree that the longer this goes on, the worse it will be. But I also think it would be beneficial to get him in front of a camera personally as soon as possible so he can at least explain the process, what happened, what didn't happen. I suspect he'll stand in front of the camera and he'll be able to say is, I don't know why the team didn't communicate about what the on-field decision was or something like that. I don't know, but he needs to stand in front of the camera. They can't just give the audio to Sky and say, play this on Sky Sports News and just have everyone smash it. Right? They can't. They need to put the chief of it in front of the camera. And I think, by the way, as well, like there's a lot of incompetence going on there. I think he's trying. I think principally he's got good ideas about what he wants to do. I honestly think one of them is open your eyes and put somebody in the room who actually isn't attached to the laws of the game and actually wants to sometime just sit there and go, the common sense decision here is, because we're not getting that. The Diaz one is a one-off unbelievable scandal. It's completely oversighted things like the Mbeumo incident yesterday where it's absolutely a penalty. And the player's been cheated because he tries to get up. There was a game recently. What was the fucking game? It was an overseas game, or I can't remember what it was, but there was an incident in the penalty area. It involved someone. It was towards the end of last season. Might have even been a Nations League game or something. I can't remember. But there was a potential foul in the penalty area. And the guy lied on the floor and he just refused to move for like a minute and a half. And eventually he gave the penalty. He was like, I'm not moving. I'm fucking tell the world that I'm in pain. I'm in agony. And they looked at it and it was like a slight bit of contact. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah. And he's dead on the floor. Fuck it. We'll give a penalty. If Visser lays on the floor there, rolling around, if he gives it the Anthony Gordon and all that, sorry to pick on him, but it's an obvious one. It's a penalty. He's been done over because he tries to get up and score a goal and we're punishing that. Fucking nonsense, man. So yeah, it's just fucked at the moment.
Patrons, stay safe, look after yourselves. Champions League tomorrow.
Yes, we'll have a UCL preview. So is that the end of the queue, is it?
Yeah, that's all the questions we've had.
Good.
Yeah. See you tomorrow, patrons. Well, I won't because it'll be Clayton doing the Champions League. Clayton, I'm not playing UEFA for Champions League this year. Too many games to juggle around. But
sorry about that.
You know, stay safe. Look after yourselves. Ciao for now.
Try and be good at the two that you do play. Be nice to each other, patrons. Cue music, please, man child.
Fantasy Football Show.